Thank you. Rowena, would you please come join me? Now, this lady is absolutely incredible. And I keep pushing at her because I think she's putting her light under a bushel. Really do. Because she is a poet. Or poetress, would it be? But her poems are just absolutely beautiful. This wonderful lady has done a poem on Ruth, and she encapsulates the whole character and the whole chapter in 8-9 verses. And it is just so beautiful, and you think, oh, wow, it must have happened yesterday. It's so current, it's so living. And I just want her to publish them. I think she's brilliant. And of the ones she's been gracious enough to share with me, this is one which I thought really, really resonated with tonight. And remind me of the title?
Seeing God's Hand in It.
Thank you. You've also reminded me of a mic. Shall I take this one? Is this one not been used in the morning? Used yet? There we go.
Thank you.
So I give to you Rowena White and her poem.
Jesus said, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvellous in our eyes. Lord, Joseph was rejected by his brothers, but rejection took him on a positive route, a route of greatness, compassion and love, which conquered and made history. History which saved a nation and changed lives for the good. As your love was orchestrated to reveal your omnipotent power, like Joseph, you take us, Lord, down a route which can be unfamiliar, at times painful, costly, and sacrificial. And there are no signposts to point the way. But Lord, we start to see your hand pointing us in the right direction so we can continue our journey, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. For what the enemy wants to use for our destruction, you use for our development so we can grow and stay steadfast in you. No matter how long it takes, Lord, we trust in your faithfulness, for faith in you will strengthen us so we can endure in our afflictions. For you are arranging our steps, and your hand is on our lives. So what we perceived as the worst thing in our lives was actually your doing, Lord. And it is marvellous in our eyes."
Brilliant. Thank you. It's that line, isn't it? What is the worst thing in your life can be changed. I mean, that's part of my story, which I'm still living. What was, at the time, the worst thing that I could possibly have thought of has changed round, and it's the best thing that could have happened to me. So let's look a little bit about some of the things. We've looked at battle, we've looked at dreams and plans. Going to have a little take into fear, because fear and fear of the Lord at the moment is one of my favourite topics, actually. Now, in Unfrozen, I've done a whole chapter on fear, and I'm not going to go into the whole of that chapter, but I'm going to encourage you to read it. But fear is a passion killer, and fear steals dreams. You can't move when you're in a fearful state. But fear is also a survival mechanism. You know, we're giving it so that we can fight, we can fly, or we can freeze, depending on what the situation is. And of course, when that happens, there's chemicals and hormones that are just produced in our body so that we can take action, so we can get away from that danger. The problem is the body can't distinguish between when a bear is coming out of the woods to kill you and your boss saying to you, "Come into the office, I want to have a quiet chat with you." It can't distinguish between the car coming roaring around that corner and you've got to get out that way really quickly, otherwise you're not going to get tea on the table, and instead, you know, just saying to your husband, I haven't got tea on the table, and he has an argument with you. It can't distinguish between just going to the dentist and having a great big rock falling towards you. All those emotions and those hormones and everything just come flooding into the body. And when that continues day after day after day, which is quite often our culture at the moment, it's quite often our working life, and we're reacting in this very powerful, fear, stressful point of view, our bodies can't take it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are getting so ill so much. Can go on about that for quite a while. But I want to look at instead at the exact opposite of that, which is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord gives very different chemical reaction into the body. And in the Lord doesn't want us, well, he says, I want you to come to me and be fearful of me. That is the one thing he asks. What does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear your Lord, walk in his ways, but he wants you to fear him. Now, it doesn't mean to come to him in agony and terror and worry and trembling. Oh, my God, you know, it's God, he's going to kill me. It's not that sort. It's worship and awe. And Pernell put it in a beautiful way when she said it's the magnificence of the Lord. And even just talking about the fear of the Lord and just thinking, yeah, how wonderful he is. I can even feel in my body the difference when I talk about that, or when I talk about stress and it all gets like this, to, you know, it's just a hugely different chemical reaction. And if that carries on day after day after day, all the fruits can come in and you can be open and your heart can melt and not be frozen. So it's the direct opposite. It's about awe and respect. And as I said, God asked us to do that. He asked us because he wants us to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all our heart and all our soul. And Jesus gave us two commandments, same ones. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second one was love your neighbour as yourself. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about fear of the Lord. It's about loving God. When King David died, on his deathbed, he had one of these deathbed speeches. And you just got to love David. You know, any moment he could have to speak, he did. And it was so poetic. And he wanted to pass on the very last thing he could to, and I imagine it'd be his family and all kinds of people around his bedside listening to what was going to be his last breath. And he said to them, the one who rules in the fear of God is like the light of the morning at sunrise, like the morning without clouds, like the gleaming of the sun on new grass after rain. Samuel captures it in 2 Samuel 23:2-4. Now, if you can imagine the equivalent today, it'd be like saying to Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson, on your deathbed, give me your top leadership tip. Is he going to say, well, the one who leads in the fear of the Lord is like the light of the morning at sunrise, like a morning without clouds, like the gleaming of the sun on new grass after rain? Wouldn't it be beautiful if he did? Now, the fear of the Lord means stepping into God's fan club. As I said before, you may be... Well, I knew I was going to get this quite the right. I could get this right way around. You see, he may be your number one fan, but you need to be in his fan club. He may be your number one fan, but you need to be in his fan club. Because when you're in someone's fan club, you are given special attention, and that's what he wants to give you. He is the real hero here, and it's my purpose to serve him with passion. And I'm really thankful that you're joining me on the journey now, and I ask you to help me journey in the future. Because I want to help people. I want to help people through their three Ds, their disappointments, disillusionment and discouragement, and into the freeing fear of the Lord, that freeing fear which gives you glorious deliverance. I want to help people to rekindle their passion and their I can personality. When other life things have come in and battered them and tore it apart, I want to be doing that to help them move on. And I think I can do that best by writing, coaching, and speaking. So I've now broken the ice with you. I've shared my dreams of writing, speaking, and coaching. And I invite you to join in with the Unfrozen Future. And there's lots of opportunities to know how I'm wanting this to happen and how, but I can't do it on my own. I need people alongside me to go further. So there are free gifts and ways that I can interact, and Abby and I are going to share that a little bit more because I want to serve you with passion. Thank you.